Houston's humidity makes open water swimming for triathletes significantly harder than in drier climates. The central issue is that high moisture in the air blocks sweat evaporation, the body's main cooling mechanism. As a result, core temperature rises faster, cardiovascular strain increases, and performance suffers even when the air temperature is not extreme. At the same temperature, humid heat feels much hotter than dry heat. For example, 80 degrees F at 35% humidity feels like 80 degrees F, but at 70% humidity, it feels like 83 degrees F, and at 90% humidity, it feels like 86 degrees F. In Houston, morning humidity can exceed 80%, so an 85 degrees F early swim can produce physiological stress similar to 90 degrees F or higher. When warm water is added, the problem becomes even more serious because evaporative cooling disappears once a swimmer is submerged. In cool air, sweat evaporates and carries heat away. In saturated air, sweat may remain on the skin or drip off without removing much heat. Research shows sweat rates increase as humidity rises, and post-exercise sweat loss remains higher at high humidity even when temperature is the same. During long-course triathlon events, sweat rates commonly range from 0.8 to over 2 liters per hour. In Houston conditions, much of that sweat cannot evaporate effectively, placing added strain on the heart and circulatory system. Warm water compounds the problem. Water conducts heat about 25 times faster than air. In cool water, that helps the body lose heat. In warm water near body temperature, it can accelerate heat gain. When water temperatures reach 80 degrees F or higher, the temperature difference between skin and water becomes too small for effective cooling. Prolonged swimming in warm water can still produce sweat rates above 1 liter per hour, but that sweat does not cool the body. Blood flow is pulled between working muscles and the skin, while fluid volume drops, increasing heart rate and cardiovascular load. Houston's open water venues often reach these dangerous temperatures in summer. Galveston water averages about 86.7 degrees F in August and can reach 90.7 degrees F. Gulf Coast water temperatures from May through September commonly range from 77 degrees F to 86.7 degrees F. Twin Lakes and Sylvan Beach can regularly exceed 84 degrees F in the afternoon. April is cooler, averaging about 71 degrees F, making it a better window for building open water fitness before summer heat becomes limiting. Water temperatures above 78 degrees F are especially challenging for high-intensity endurance swimming. The World Health Organization describes 78-86 degrees F as comfortable only for moderate activity. Triathlon open water swims are not moderate. When water temperature approaches or exceeds skin temperature, blood vessels near the skin can begin moving heat inward instead of outward, causing core temperature to rise more quickly. Core temperature increases are measurable and dangerous. Studies show that even elite open water swimmers can develop mild hyperthermia in water between 18.2 degrees C and 25.5 degrees C. In warmer conditions, core temperatures can exceed 39 degrees C within 2 hours of swimming. In race-based efforts in 32 degrees C water, rectal temperatures can reach 38.1 degrees C at 20 minutes, 38.3 degrees C at 60 minutes, and 38.4 degrees C at 120 minutes, with individual peaks reaching 39.5 degrees C. These levels are well above the normal 37 degrees C baseline and can impair both health and performance. Heart rate also rises in warm water. Meta-analyses show increased heart rate after hot water immersion compared with controlled conditions. Blood pressure can drop, and dizziness or loss of consciousness is possible. These are not rare edge cases in Houston summer training. They are realistic risks during normal open water sessions. A major practical consequence is that pool pace does not translate directly to Houston open water. Swimmers should expect open water pace to run 10-20% slower than pool intervals at the same effort. Several factors explain this. Wall push-offs contribute 3-5% to pool speed, but open water has none. Siting adds 3-10 seconds per 100 meters. Waves and chop can add another 5-25 seconds per 100 meters. Swimmers also tend to deviate 3-8% from the ideal course line. In warm water, the usual benefit of a faster stroke tempo is canceled out by cardiovascular strain. Because pace becomes unreliable in heat, triathletes should train by perceived effort rather than target times. Rate of perceived exertion, or RPE, combines breathing, muscle tension, rhythm, and mental focus into a more honest measure of effort. More experienced swimmers match RPE to physiological zones more accurately than less experienced swimmers. Swimming RPE also differs from cycling or running RPE, so effort zones cannot simply be copied from land-based training. Heart rate zones also shift. Swimming heart rate zones are usually 10-15 beats per minute lower than land-based zones because water cools circulation, buoyancy reduces gravitational load, and horizontal positioning improves cardiac efficiency. In Houston heat, however, heart rate rises with temperature. It increases slightly as temperatures move from 60-75 degrees F, then climbs about 10 beats per minute between 75-90 degrees F. Humidity and dehydration add further strain. Even 1% fluid loss can raise heart rate by about 7 beats per minute. Breathing zones can be a more reliable guide in hot conditions. Endurance effort should allow full conversation. Stamina effort should allow 1 or 2 sentences. Speed effort should allow only single words. Sprint effort may be limited to grunts. These cues help when heart rate and pace become misleading. Slower splits do not mean lost fitness. In hot conditions, pulling back pace can improve technique, build aerobic base, and prevent mid-set collapse. Aerobic fitness develops at intensities that feel almost too easy. Training at 50-60% maximum heart rate supports warm-up and recovery, while 60-70% maximum heart rate supports fat burning and aerobic improvements. Lactate threshold work, where acid production and clearance balance, should make up about 40-50% of effective programming. Hydration is one of the most important adjustments. Swimmers often underestimate fluid loss because they do not feel sweat while submerged. Competitive swimmers average about 0.9 liters of sweat loss per hour, and rates can rise to about 1.07 liters per hour in warmer water. Sweat sodium and chloride levels are similar to those of land-based endurance athletes, meaning swimmers lose meaningful sodium even during open water sessions. For every pound of body weight lost during swimming, replace 20 to 24 ounces of fluid. The American College of Sports Medicine recommends 300-600 mg of sodium per hour during prolonged exercise. Sports drinks should generally contain 230-690 mg of sodium per liter. A practical target is about 300 mg of sodium per 16-ounce serving. Athletes who sweat heavily, train for more than 2 hours, or notice salty sweat deposits on their swimsuit may need more sodium. Fluid absorption has limits. The gut can absorb roughly 600 ml of fluid per hour. Drinking beyond that can cause stomach distress and divert blood flow away from working muscles. Chugging plain water is also risky because it can dilute blood sodium and increase the chance of hyponatremia. Pre-swim hydration should be planned. A high-strength electrolyte drink containing about 1,500 mg of sodium per liter should be consumed 60-90 minutes before swimming. One serving the night before, another about 90 minutes pre-swim, and a final serving 45 minutes before entering the water can help. After swimming, athletes should replace about 150% of fluid losses within 2 to 3 hours. Weighing before and after sessions helps track actual losses. Adding sodium to post-swim drinks improves water retention and speeds rehydration. Training timing matters. Dawn sessions are the best outdoor option in Houston's summer heat. Starting before 7 a.m. places swimmers in the water before heat index values become dangerous. Morning air is usually 8-12 degrees F cooler than afternoon peaks, even though humidity remains high. Early sessions also reduce traffic and provide better conditions for transition practice and brick workouts. Late morning through late afternoon is better suited to indoor pool training. Pools held at 78-80 degrees F provide a stable thermal environment without solar radiation or saturated air. This is the best time for high-intensity interval work, threshold efforts, and pace-focused sessions where controlled conditions matter. Heat acclimation is another key strategy. Sauna sessions can build heat adaptation without adding training load. A useful protocol is 30 minutes in a sauna, 4 times per week, for 3 weeks at 180-194 degrees F. Benefits can appear within 5 to 7 exposures and peak after about 10 consecutive sessions. Hot water immersion is another option. Submerge to neck level in 104 degrees F water for 30-40 minutes after training. 6 consecutive days of 40-minute sessions can produce meaningful adaptation. Both methods expand plasma volume and improve sweat efficiency. Local open water venues require specific precautions. Lake Longhorn in League City offers 43 acres of freshwater, with summer temperatures reaching 89 degrees F. Personal swim buoys are mandatory, and there are no lifeguards. Twin Lake Scuba Park in Manville has a $10 cash entry fee and requires a wetsuit or personal flotation device for liability reasons. Early arrival is important because parking restrictions can apply. Cross-draining should also be adjusted. When afternoon heat index reaches dangerous levels, bike intervals can be moved indoors. This preserves leg fitness for evening open water sessions while reducing cumulative heat stress. Race day requires active cooling. Cold water immersion is the most effective way to lower core temperature before racing, but ice slurry ingestion is often the most practical alternative. Consuming 6-8-14 grams of ice slurry per kilogram of body mass over 30 minutes before the swim can help. Cooling vests are commonly used, but they are less effective than ice slushies because they work only while a temperature gradient exists between the skin and the ice. Once they warm up, they lose effectiveness and can even impede evaporation. Before entering the water, apply cold towels to the neck, wrists, and head. The neck is especially useful because major blood vessels are close to the surface. Splashing cold water over the head and front of the wetsuit just before the start can reduce thermal shock and help lower core temperature. After the swim, cooling should begin immediately. Ice towels on the neck and head or a brief cold water immersion can lower core temperature before the bike leg. Even a 60-second cold water dunk can buy meaningful recovery before facing Houston heat on the bike. Heat stress signs must be recognized early. Heat exhaustion can cause heavy sweating, headache, dizziness, nausea, and elevated heart rate, with core temperature typically between 101 degrees F and 104 degrees F. These symptoms are serious, but manageable if caught early. Confusion, slurred speech, or loss of consciousness indicates heat stroke, a medical emergency with core temperature above 104 degrees F. In that case, cooling must begin immediately, and emergency services should be called. The key takeaways are straightforward. Houston's humidity and warm water create a unique training environment that standard heat advice does not fully address. Open water pace should be expected to slow by 10-20% compared with pool times. Training should be guided by perceived effort and breathing zones rather than pace or heart rate alone. Sodium intake should be aggressive, targeting 300-600 mg per hour during prolonged work. Sessions should be scheduled early in the morning, with high-intensity work moved indoors during peak heat. Heat acclimation through sauna or hot bath protocols can improve tolerance without increasing training volume. Finally, the Gulf Coast climate can become an advantage rather than a limitation. Athletes who respect the body's cooling limits recognize early heat stress symptoms, and consistently apply these strategies can turn Houston's difficult conditions into a source of resilience and race day readiness.